Welcome to the podcast of The Diane Rehm Show, smart conversation and civil dialogue from WAMU and NPR in Washington.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the all-new turbocharged Acura RDX with available voice-activated navigation. More at acura.com/RDX.
For joining us, I'm Diane Rehm. American teachers are assigning more homework than ever. Most children, even in the earliest grades, now bring schoolwork home every day. And older students find no escape from the daily regime. My guest this hour argues that homework has an overall negative impact on students and that it's time to challenge the status quo. Author Alfie Cohn joins me in the studio. His new book is titled The Homework Myth, Why Our Kids Get Too Much of a Bad Thing. I'm certain that many of you have opinions on this very subject, so call us on 800-433-8850. Send your email to drshow@wamu.org. Alfie, it's good to see you again.
Nice to be back.
Why has homework become such a hot topic?
Well, it's a hot topic because there's always on a simmer on the stove this concern, I think, that parents have as they watch pointless worksheets spill out of their kids' backpacks and wonder, is all the frustration, the exhaustion, the family conflict and nagging, the kids not having enough time for other activities, is it worth it?
But is it really pointless, Alfie?
Well, some is more pointless than others. I mean, it's not as if all homework is equally bad. Some assignments are more engaging. Certainly, you know it's bad news if it's just a matter of worksheets where kids are circling vowels or slogging through committee-written textbooks or memorizing forgettable facts for the next quiz. But I'm concerned about both quantity and quality. I'm also concerned about what the default is. You know, I think most of us as parents could deal with it if teachers said, you know, occasionally this year, when it's really necessary, we're going to presume to infringe on family time by asking your kids to do some more academic work at home. But they don't do it like that. What they say is, you're going to have homework every day or several times a week. Later on, we'll figure out what to make them do. So the default is homework, unless there's a good reason not to have it, which presumes that homework is inherently beneficial, irrespective of its content, and that position is simply unjustifiable.
But is the need for homework, or has the need for homework, expanded as teachers feel pressured to present more and more information that they don't have time to present in the classroom?
That is certainly a reasonable hypothesis for why it's going up and at the same time being pushed down, which is to say the burden is increasing for the youngest kids. Part of the problem does come from this tougher standards and accountability fad that has our educational system in its grip right now, turning whole schools into glorified test prep centers. Part of it, though, has to do with the whole notion that education is about covering a bunch of facts, treating students as if they're empty receptacles into which knowledge is poured. And so teachers who are invited to think of teaching that way naturally say there's not enough time to pour in all the facts during the day. But the problem isn't just the number of hours. It's that whole model of instruction.
Well, let's talk about exactly, I mean, obviously, averages across the country. First, of high school students, to what extent do they bring homework home every night? How much?
It depends in part on whether they're in advanced programs like advanced placement and honors courses, where it's not unusual to find 3-4 hours of homework. When you get into the upper grades, you're also dealing with departmentalization, where each teacher gives homework without really taking account of what the other teachers have done. The numbers there vary. It appears that the overall high school homework rate hasn't changed that much over the last few decades. Where you find a significant increase is with 6 to 8 year olds, where you've about 20 years ago, roughly 1/3 of kids that age said they had some homework the preceding night, and it's doubled. It's now 2/3, so that the rate is now comparable to 9 to 12 year olds.
6 to 8 year olds.
It's unbelievable.
Healthy.
Unbelievable.
I mean, what kind of homework would a 6 to 8 year old have?
The kind that undermines his or her interest in learning for life? Well, it varies. You know, sometimes if it's just read a book you want, then that's fine. But unfortunately, that's not what it is. Unfortunately, it's more like worksheets calculation with naked numbers and skills. But what I found in my research, which is really, I think, extraordinary, is the lack of evidence to support the value of homework. Because all the parents who put up with this and say, you know, I don't like what it does to our family, I don't like what it does to my kid, but at least it's helping her learn better, at least it's helping him develop study skills, but it ain't so. I mean, the research is extraordinary. Number one, no study, to the best of my knowledge, has ever demonstrated an academic advantage for homework at the elementary school level. There is zero evidence to support the idea of giving kids any homework in elementary school. Number two, at high school, there's a correlation, at least, between, and it's a weak one, between higher scores and getting more homework, but no proof that the homework led to the higher scores.
Alfie Cohn, his new book is titled The Homework Myth, Why Our Kids Get Too Much of a Bad Thing. I should note that Time magazine has called Alfie Cohn perhaps the country's most outspoken critic of education's fixation on grades and test scores. Do join us, 800-433-8850. I'll be interested in hearing what's happening in your home, in your family, and what your kids are bringing home in the way of homework. Join us on 800-433-8850. Send your email to drshow@wamu.org. You also, Alfie Cohn, take issue with the idea that homework provides a good opportunity for students to practice what they've learned.
Well, part of the problem deals with the whole focus on practicing skills as opposed to understanding ideas. When you hear teachers say this will reinforce what they've gotten in school, that's a throwback to behaviorism, which is focused on automatic behaviors, not on understanding ideas. Even if there were justification for practicing skills, there's no evidence that that has to happen at home, and there's certainly no evidence that a single assignment given to all kids is going to be useful. Some of the kids already get it. They don't need the practice. It's a waste of time. Other kids don't understand the underlying principle, and so they're just feeling stupid and learning how to fake it. It doesn't benefit them either.
You know, I'd be interested also, you talk about the amount of homework assigned. How does that translate into a burden or lack thereof on the teachers themselves?
Well, a lot of teachers are unhappy about homework, not only because they doubt its value to the students. They feel pressured to assign it because of administrators and sometimes because of parents. And there are parents out there who feel reassured vaguely if their kids are hunched over some homework on the kitchen table. They must be learning something, never mind what it is they're doing. And some parents feel vaguely unsettled if the kid doesn't have homework, as if that means the school doesn't take academics seriously, which I can tell you, could be is the farthest thing from the truth. Some of the best, most excellent schools I know of give virtually no homework. But
give
teachers
me an
are
example.
Also...
Give me an example of a school where virtually no homework is given and yet performance ranked very high.
Yeah, well, I was talking to some folks at a school in Arizona called the Kino School, for example, where they have found that the absence, their philosophy is parents and children should be deciding, families should be deciding what happens after kids spend 6 to 7 hours in school.
When the kids, this a private
when the kids go
or
home,
a public
this particular
school
is private.
Is it a charter school or a private
no,
school?
No, this is an independent school.
All right.
I talked to teachers in public and private and charter schools all over the country. Their philosophy is, and that of many of the schools whose teachers I spoke with, is that after 6 or 7 hours at school, it's unjustifiable to force kids to, in effect, work a second shift. But what they found is not only does it not hurt their academic achievement, it actually stimulates the kids' intellectual growth because the kids start pursuing projects that developed. The seed was planted during school. Now they have the time and the interest, two things utterly lacking when traditional homework overburdens kids, to pursue these ideas on their own, to talk with their classmates about stuff, to create videos, to read further books, to follow current events.
On the other hand, Alfie, how do we know that many children, mm-hmm. given no homework,
yep.
would simply play games
right.
on the computer or sit in front of the television
right.
or talk aimlessly and endlessly on the telephone?
Well, some would. Number one, it's interesting that there's less of that happening, that is to say more constructive activity in schools that don't have homework. That's an empirical evidence of an interesting sort. Number two, there are different kinds of learning besides academic learning. There are things from the computer or from social interaction that are also important for kids' growth, intellectual, social, moral growth.
Do you think that any homework is acceptable?
I do. I do. I just want to finish by saying if our worst fears are realized and some kids just chill out after school, frankly, I think that's their right. When we finish a hard day at work, we have the right to just relax as well.
Alfie Cohn, his new book is titled The Homework Myth, Why Our Kids Get Too Much of a Bad Thing. 800-433-8850. We'll be back in just a moment. And we have our first email from Ryan Hill, an educator who says, my elementary school classroom is listening to your discussion right now.
Great.
And we plan a lively discussion afterwards. For their benefit, could you please define homework as it may differ from assignment or project as it may be done in class?
Homework is normally defined as some kind of assignment, project, or requirement that students do some kind of academic work when they get home. It's possible, I guess, to call it homework and allow kids to have enough time during the school day to complete it. I don't want to quibble over the definition. But if kids can't finish it or are compelled to do it at home, then I think it's appropriate to call it homework.
But, you know, so many times if, for example, a third grade teacher assigns the construction of some sort of, I don't know, a playground or something with cardboard, so often the parents end up having to do it.
Right. And parents feel caught between a rock and a hard place. They're criticized for doing too much of their kids' homework and criticized for not being involved enough. They feel bad when they take over, when a weeping child says, I can't do this, I can't finish this, I'm tired. But they also feel bad when they step back.
Here's another email from Marcia in Alexandria, Virginia. She says, what about international competition to have young people ready and prepared to compete in the workforce?
Oh, how sad.
We have to compete with Chinese and Indian students who are competitive. What sort of homework and learning habits do those children have while growing up?
Right now, there's a move in Japan to eliminate homework in many elementary schools. They are sick of what it's doing to the kids and realize it's not necessary. They're realizing that a focus on international competition is almost obscene when it's imposed upon children. The idea, I mean, first of all, the idea that the goal is to beat other people rather than to learn how to collaborate effectively with them is a show in its own right. But second, even if you looked at international competitions on test scores, which are less about excellence than they are about victory and the right to yell, we're number one, you find that there is no positive correlation between how well kids do in a given country on those international tests and how much homework they have. In fact, the most recent result of math and science study finds a negative correlation. So even if
between the amount
between how much homework is given and how well kids do on the exam, right,
and how much time young people spend.
But, you know, I have found, I don't know if you've seen this. I mean, I saw an article recently about tutors for two-year-olds. You know, like yesterday's satire becomes today's reality. But there is no activity, no policy, no practice so outrageous that somebody somewhere can't justify what we do to children by invoking the need to be competitive.
Here's an email from Elizabeth, who says, how can schools give less homework when parents themselves are so competitive and perhaps unwilling or unable to work with their own children?
Yes.
We hate the homework schedule because it impacts family life, walks, reading, discussions. Yet if kids are just watching TV, maybe homework is a better alternative.
No, a good alternative, which the best teachers do, and they're willing to fight parents who don't understand this, because competitiveness of parents is part of the problem. Competition isn't the objective. And they're willing to share the research, to say to parents, there is no basis in fact for the view that homework is necessary or desirable, not only for promoting academic achievement, but here's the really surprising part. Some people who once presented with the data showing that kids do just fine with no homework, academically speaking, then fall back on the idea that it builds character or teaches good work habits. It promotes self-discipline and responsibility. For the homework myth, I reviewed an awful lot of research. Not a shred of evidence backs that up. The idea that homework is necessary for teaching good study habits and the like is basically, it could be described as an urban myth, except that it's accepted in the suburbs too. So then what I set out to do is solve this mystery. If homework at all ages is not necessary academically or non-academically, and if we know what the disadvantages are, then why do we continue to assign it and accept it?
And how do you answer that?
In the book, I give six reasons. I'll mention three now quickly. One is this whole tougher standards movement, invocations of competitiveness, which allow us to do stuff to kids that's not in the kids' best interest. It's about corporate success. It's not about how to help children become good learners and good people. Mm-hmm. Number two, some of us don't trust children. There is a deep cynical strain of believing that kids can't be allowed to decide what to do after school because they would just be up to no good. So we have to overstructure their time and got to keep the youngins moral after school. And the third answer is that we don't understand learning. We don't understand why. It makes sense that the research shows no necessary advantage for homework, because we have this basic vending machine model that if you put homework into kids, you will get learning out.
Do you feel as though you're fomenting a revolt among parents to strike back?
That would be nice. I'm certainly trying, but also teachers. Because for every teacher I talked, for every parent I talked to who said, make the homework stop, how do we tuck the teachers into it when they feel obliged to do it because it's always been done? I heard from a teacher who said, make the parents stop pressuring me to assign homework because I'm the educator and I know it doesn't help, to say nothing of the added burden on me and my colleagues. I want to bring them together, show them the evidence, and help them understand that we can organize, not just do it alone, to say, we want kids to be, and this may be the most important point, which I haven't mentioned yet, not just skillful learners, but enthusiastic learners. So, I mean, I write about a lot of educational issues. My take is, for any given policy or practice, my number one question is going to be, how is this going to affect kids' desire to read and think?
Do you think homework actually turns kids off?
Oh, boy, do I. I mean, we watch kids, not only do they dread homework and see it as something to be gotten over, which by itself means that it's unlikely to be effective, incidentally, you know, unless you accept that vending machine model. If kids have a really negative attitude to something, it's unlikely to be beneficial. No wonder the research shows no benefit. But beyond that, what strikes me as tragic is that kids are not just turned off to homework. Increasingly, they're turned off to science, to math, to reading, to translating from a foreign language, to understanding ideas, to learning itself. And that's not just pointlessness, which I think parents might be able to just sigh and shrug and put up with. If it's making kids less curious about the world and less likely to want to learn, I think we have an obligation to act.
Alfie Cohen, his new book is titled The Homework Myth, Why Our Kids Get Too Much of a Bad Thing. And we'll open the phones now to hear from, I'm sure, parents, teachers, educators. Let's go first to Plainfield, New Hampshire. Karen, you're on the air.
Hi, Diane.
Hi.
I hope you never get tired of hearing your callers tell you how much they appreciate your program.
Thank you so much.
It is by far the best show of its kind on the radio.
Good.
I just wanted to say that I have a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old, and I actually appreciate the fact that they both bring home some homework, because I feel like it allows us as a family to have some focused time on learning, and it also helps us as parents stay in touch with what they're doing in school.
And what if the schools provided other ways to accomplish both of those goals that weren't at the child's expense? What if there were notes and memos that helped you understand what was going on at school, even asked your opinion? And what if there were suggestions, if you needed them, for how you could direct learning time with your child instead of having to have, by default, the school tell you how to learn with your child?
I think that those are both great things, and those are things that our school does as well, and most of the teachers do really well. But I do think that it's good to have a focused assignment that we have very clear instructions on what is supposed to be done, and, you know, we can sit down as a family and kind of tackle it together.
Well, I mean, I guess the number one question, given that you feel this way, would be how your child feels about it.
My kids love homework.
Well, that's very unusual, and you're very lucky.
Yeah, maybe they're too young. You know, they're just first and third grade, so maybe they're too young to be, have the influences of the other kids, and oh gosh, we have homework.
Karen, last question: how much time do you and your children spend on the homework?
Well, we've just started school here, so I know that in the third grade, the teacher says that there will be about 30 minutes a day, Monday through Thursday, and then I think for the first grader, it'll just be, you know, one project a week that can kind of be, you know, be brought in at any point during that week.
Well, I hope you maintain your enthusiasm as time goes on and as that workload increases. You sound like a very happily involved parent, and I'm happy for you. Thanks for calling. Let's go now to Pensacola, Florida. Hi there, Alex. You're on the air.
Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
Good morning. First, I want to give some background. I graduated high school in 99, and throughout my school career, especially in high school, I resisted homework and didn't complete it, but scored close to 100 on pretty much every test. And so my grade average would be about a C, which I thought was terribly unfair because I demonstrated that I absorbed the knowledge from class, but just didn't do the reinforcement or whatever you'd want to call it.
You got the bad grade because you were punished for not
exactly.
Towing the line.
And that really put me off to conventional education for quite some time.
I understand.
And in my career in the Army, I know this sounds like a strange place to find it, I've gone to some very challenging schools and am in currently a very challenging school where they have different model for learning. And I just wanted to share that, where you're expected to know huge amounts of very technical information and be able to work hands-on with that information.
Mm-hmm.
And how they do it is they have a study hall or a period of time that's proctored by maybe one instructor for the whole school. We'll just make the rounds to keep order. And you'll work in groups with your class on various assignments and try to absorb the knowledge that way. It builds teamwork, and it lets you work through things you might not have understood fully. And if you were on your own, you would never understand those things.
Right, and that's true of homework in general, which is why a number of teachers I talk to prefer to have kids reading and writing and solving math problems in class first so they can do it with their peers, which provides often a more sophisticated understanding of the idea from that interaction when it's done right. And second, because the teacher can observe and guide and help rather than leaving kids to their own devices when they may not get it.
Alex, I'm glad you called. Thanks a lot. At 27 before the hour, you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. Now to Ephrata, Washington. Hi, Barb. Hope I pronounced that correctly.
Yes, you did, and
good.
Thank you. I am concerned about two things. First of all, I'm an elementary teacher, and this is my 39th year. Second of all, when we're talking about research, on the one hand, you give anecdotal data on a private school saying, oh, yes, kids do much better without homework. And on the other hand, you say there's no data that you have found in research that says that homework is a good thing. Therefore, also, the converse is true. Homework is not proven to be a bad thing. When you have a public school where there are 172 stakeholders, including community, businesses, and everything, where you're serving children from preschool to high school at totally different developmental levels,
mm-hmm.
you cannot boil down one statistic and say, therefore, homework is bad. Right now in the curriculum, we do about three times what we used to do in the same amount of time. There is no time for practice. And there is plenty of research that shows that you must have young children particularly practice to automaticity all of the things that they need to go on to higher level thinking.
Actually,
thank you. I'll take your comment off the air.
Thanks for calling, Barb.
Number one, the fact that kids are at different developmental levels is a strong argument against not giving homework in its usual form at the very least, which is where all kids get the same assignment. That wouldn't make any sense if kids didn't understand things at the same rate. Second, automaticity is, which means making things automatic, so kids don't have to think. You say 6 times 7, they say 42, is an excellent way to undermine understanding. Because some kids will get it and other kids won't. But even those who do get it don't understand why you flip over the second fraction to divide, for example, or why it makes sense to start a paragraph with a topic sentence. The more you do things automatically from practice and rote rehearsal, the less you understand the rationale for what you're doing and the less able you are to generalize and transfer those skills, even when you're able to work on those narrow problems. Cognitive science has come a long way since this teacher began teaching. Unfortunately, our practices haven't, and so we're still making kids do stuff rote and assuming it has to be done at home. In fact, there's considerable statistical evidence, not merely anecdotal evidence, to demonstrate that homework has, at the elementary school level, not even a statistical association with higher achievement. That, of course, would be necessary but not sufficient for showing that homework helps.
But, you know, I can remember learning those multiplication tables, learning those fractions, memorizing them, so they are still in my mind.
Yeah.
I don't think they got in the way of anything. They helped me, and I did practice at home with those little flashcards.
Right,
I can
remember
doing that. Why doesn't that help?
Well, you tend to remember facts when you use them, not when you have to work hard just to stuff them into your memory. Multiplication is the only example people tend to give to make this point. So let's concede it. Let's stipulate this, as the lawyers say, that kids should spend some time learning what 6 times 7 equals.
Sure.
But let's not then draw from that example and generalize to assume that most math, let alone most learning, should be done the same way, which leaves 99% of the school day done in a different way, according to the best research. I'm not even sure you need to force kids to just memorize those, because when kids are addressing math in the way that the best theory, research, and practice suggests, where they're figuring stuff out, they're understanding things from the inside out, they use the mathematical skills, including how to multiply, in a context and for a purpose. But that's totally at odds with a typical and traditional form, where it's mostly about, I'm going to show you how to work the problem and then send you home with 50 more just like it.
Alfie Cohn, he's the author of 10 previous books on parenting and education. His newest is titled The Homework Myth: Why Our Kids Get Too Much of a Bad Thing. When we come back, of course, more of your calls, your email. I'll look forward to hearing from you.
National broadcast of The Diane Rehm Show is made possible in part by American University. Additional support for NPR comes from the Charles Stuart Mott Foundation, online at mott.org, supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable, and sustainable society. And from the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants both to promote international understanding and address the root causes of global poverty, online at hewlett.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
On the next Fresh Air, Jonathan Franzen, author of the best-selling novel The Corrections, talks about his new memoir, The Discomfort Zone, and we talk with jazz musician, composer, arranger, and bandleader Gerald Wilson. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
And here is a new email for Alfie Cohn on his book, The Homework Myth, from David, who says, thank you for this important topic. Our daughters attend a local Montessori school, which does not use homework as a method for learning. Because the Montessori method is so much more effective, children educated in this method come out of school being better educated than their public school counterparts, and all without the use of homework. This proves to me that homework is simply being used to make up for the vast shortcomings of traditional institutionalized education in this country. Do you agree with that?
In large part, yes. I think there's many reasons that that explain the use of homework despite its proven lack of benefit, and that might be one of them. There are others as well, but sometimes I talked to a couple of public school teachers in high-powered high schools who never give homework, one in chemistry in the East Coast and one in social studies on the West Coast, and they view most homework as busy work and say, if I'm good enough in class, I don't need to assign it.
But Alfie, what happens when a student graduates high school having perhaps had virtually no homework and then moves to the college level where homework can go for 8-10 hours?
Well, I think in the senior year of high school, it might be appropriate to discuss with kids how it will work or give them a taste of this so they can do it. But I don't think we want to justify something that hasn't been shown to be useful purely on the basis that they're going to get more of it later. We want to give them the skills they need, but not immerse them in things if it hasn't been shown to be beneficial at the level where they are.
Here's an email from Robin in Hanover, New Hampshire, who says, your guest's disdain for homework is rooted in his disdain for knowledge.
Oh.
Somewhere in his talk today, I'm confident he will invoke terms like useless facts, empty vessel, and the horrors of learning anything by rote memory. He is already at this writing posed a false dichotomy between learning facts and gaining understanding. The fact is that learning is enhanced with repetition. Homework is one means of providing repetition. In his know-nothing model, kids would understand more and more about less and less until they ultimately understood 100% of nothing. It's quite a clever book promotion strategy, but a bankrupt education strategy.
The fact that that view still persists helps to explain why homework in the proven absence of benefit continues to be assigned. This represents a view that continues to drive the use of worksheets and textbooks and lectures and quizzes and the like, despite the fact that cognitive science and pedagogy have come so far beyond this view. The idea that practice makes perfect, which is a bit of folk wisdom, may be true on occasion. It's certainly true, to use an example often cited, in learning how to play tennis well. But that begs the question of whether understanding mathematical concepts or literature is analogous to tennis. The point in tennis is you have to make your body emit a behavior where you place the ball where you want it. And the more times you do it, the more times you get your body to do what you're asking it to. But that's not at all the case where understanding is concerned. I'm not anti-knowledge. As I said a moment ago, I think that we need to help kids understand ideas in a context and for a purpose. Rote rehearsal of the kind that homework is overwhelmingly driven to support helps drive mindlessness rather than mindful understanding.
To St. Louis, Missouri. Good morning, Anne.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I am under the opinion that much of the homework that is assigned in school is not actually intended to be taken home and worked on. But I think a lot of teachers assign work in school and expect the child to work on it during the school day and get it completed. However, because I think of so much lack of support for teachers from the administration and the parents unwittingly, the children, when they are in the school day, they are actually having a big social hour for 7 hours. They're not grinding away reading books. If you go into public schools now or private schools, you'll find them actually having a great time. They're talking to one another. They're walking down the halls when they feel like it. And And I think it's due to the lack of structure within the classroom, that it's not the teacher's fault, that makes the child not be able to get their work done during the school day. And when are they going to do it? Then they have to do it at home. And that is why they can actually learn. They have to have the parents helping at home, because the school is so disruptive that I don't think kids can actually learn at school. And about mostly early elementary education.
Interesting.
This doesn't comport with my understanding either of why teachers assign homework or when they expect kids to get it done. I think most expect it to be done at home. And second, it doesn't comport with my sense of schools, which are typically overstructured. However, if you have in your mind a picture that schools are supposed to have kids sitting down at their desks, face forward, silent most of the day, then interaction of the kind that actually promotes better understanding might be viewed as chaotic or simply socializing, and that's not really true. I should say, too, because I want to be clear, I want to give away the trick ending of my book here, because my prescription is not for no homework ever. That is not my view. My suggestion is not only that we should have less, and not only that it should be of better quality, my final prescription is to change the default. I think we should say no homework except on those occasions where the teacher genuinely believes this is necessary or at least highly likely to be advantageous for most of the kids. On those occasions, then I think we can justify certain forms of homework, especially the kind where it makes sense to do at home, like interviewing your parents about their family history or doing some experiment in the kitchen to replicate what you did in class or simply reading books of your own choice. On those occasions, let's do it. But if the default is no homework, except when it's really necessary, that's going to mean a lot less of it, and it's going to be a lot better.
To Scott in Atlanta, Georgia. Good morning to you. Scott, are you there?
Hi, yes, I am. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I was just contemplating here earlier, and I had a comment. I have a 4.5-year-old who is in kindergarten, and we have suffered through homework beginning in preschool, and it's on a daily basis.
Oh, my God.
And I wonder, in terms of where we're going with this, and I listen to a lot of the parents, and I have a lot of different thoughts. Yeah, I am going to be turning 40 next year, and I remember going through elementary school, and the emphasis after school was on doing after-school activities and socializing. And my generation seems to have done better in overall test scores than generations thereafter, which have focused much on the homework model. And I look and I think that, you know, teaching by rote seems to contradict common sense. And I wonder, whatever happened to the Socratic method? You know, when I was a senior, we had took a great book seminar, and by far it was the most challenging and interesting class I've ever had in my academic career. And I went on to do a master's, and still to this day, I look back and I think that's the way teaching ought to be. Hmm. And I will take your comments off the air. Thank
you. Scott, thanks for calling.
I guess my challenge to this caller and to myself and to all the other callers is, what are we going to do about this? I mean, I agree with your fundamental premise. What drives me batty are parents who understand this, who realize that it's not necessary, it's not useful to have kids have their backpacks and evenings filled up like this. And then when it comes time to talk to the teacher, the parents ask questions like, is a green binder acceptable? Can they go on the internet for this assignment? Should this take more than 45 minutes? Instead of asking the questions that matter, which should be posed respectfully, of course, but sound more like, how much say did the kids have in deciding that it would be appropriate for this activity to spill over after school? Or what evidence is there that this assignment really needs to be done at home? Or what data can you point to showing that homework in elementary school is necessary at all? We need to ask the questions that get at the root here instead of accepting it as being like the weather. Homework and the fact that our kids do what they do as much as they do are decisions made by individuals for various reasons, most of them, I think, hard to defend. And those decisions can be changed.
But you do have standards that have now been imposed on schools, learning levels,
yes,
that have to be achieved. How do you counter that,
yes,
when it's coming from the highest levels of
government? Well, there's two answers to that. One deals with the standards themselves and the testing that accompanies that, and maybe that's a different show, because I have written and talked about what we as parents can do to take back our schools, not to have low standards, but to have meaningful standards that aren't measured in terms of standardized tests, and that's more about discovering ideas than merely covering a bunch of facts. However, even if you accept those standards, that's not really an argument for more homework. I mean, for example, a few years ago, Piscataway, New Jersey made the news for putting some very perfunctory limits on the amount of homework. Even doing that made them seem courageous and deserving of national attention. But one of the reasons they did that is because homework was going up and up and up, but test scores were going down. So even by the conventional standardized criteria, homework doesn't help. There is no pro to balance the cons.
Here's an email from Andrea here in D.C. She says, I heard of a quote from a high school kid who said, if my parents came home from work and then worked for 3 or 4 more hours, they'd be called workaholics.
Right.
If I don't do 3 to 4 hours of work every evening, I am called a slacker. Mm-hmm. That about sums it up. My son definitely needs his downtime. He has other things in which he's interested in doing. I'd like to hear more about how Dr. Cohn thinks the school day should be structured that would allow better learning. And I presume she means less homework.
Yes, right. I mean, I agree with this high school student. It's the idea of self-discipline and responsibility and independence, the non-academic advantages for which there's no supporting evidence that homework is supposed to promote, is actually more about creating workaholics than creating someone who is psychologically healthy. Not to mention the fact that we have kids who are becoming possibly less interested in learning, which is when I think it's time for parents to take action. The best school day, I think, is one where kids spend most of the time with one another, talking, thinking, pursuing interdisciplinary projects largely of their own design, getting excited about asking increasingly sophisticated questions, learning the skills of how to pose questions and seek the information necessary to make distinctions and connections.
And it's 7 minutes before the hour, and you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. Now to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Caitlin, good morning to you.
Good morning. My comment is about the homework in high school. I don't know where he's getting his information from, but I know for me, when I graduated from high school, my senior year, I had 2 AP classes, and I had 5 academic classes, and I had 1/2 hour of homework a night.
That's very unusual.
My classes were a joke. My school was a joke. And now I'm going to a rather competitive college, and I don't know how to study. And I would say that, actually, this is really common at my school. Actually, there's a Facebook group called I Don't Know How to Study Because I Never Had to in High School. Mm. And I have to admit that I feel really cheated by the system because I didn't get homework. I could say that, like, it seems almost like the homework that you're talking about is busy work, mm-hmm. but we don't get real homework. We get busy work, and then we do that, but we never mm-hmm. get, like, papers, mm-hmm. projects, anything like that, maybe worksheets, if we're lucky.
It may be the case that your high school was both easy and, how shall we say, not of the highest quality in terms of the learning. But let's not confuse those two and assume that more work and harder work is the same as better learning, because those aren't the case. That's not the case at all. Moreover, I think it's possible to teach study skills in a way that kids will need in college and will be valuable. But merely giving kids a lot to do doesn't teach them study skills any more than tossing a kid in a swimming pool teaches her how to swim.
Caitlin, I hope you're getting some help with those study skills.
Oh, I am. I'm actually doing a lot better now.
Good.
I have to say that I would have really appreciated having papers to write in high school so that when I got to college, I had papers, knowledge to write a good paper and knew what APA was. And
good. I'm glad you called. Thanks a lot. And finally, an email from Alex, who says, I am a product of an educational system that always emphasized homework. when I was in second grade, there was an experiment in our school, and the homework was completely abolished after several months of falling grades and general performance. Homework was reinstated.
The grades are often given out by the same teachers who assign the homework, so that's no social scientist worth his or her salt would use that as a criterion. I have seen schools that have taken a moratorium from homework to see what the effects would be, the effects on the mood and climate, the effects on kids' interest in learning and the quality of thinking. My sense is that they don't find that to be true at all. Rather, it frees kids up to become more excited about learning.
And here's a final email from Donovan, who's in Fort Mill, South Carolina, who says, I'm a second-generation immigrant, product of two cultures where multiple languages were spoken at home. My parents couldn't help with my studies. My father had been a goat herder in Guatemala. My mother had barely made it through secondary school. Homework allowed me to concentrate on my subjects, tickled my curiosity on the information presented, made me thirsty for more knowledge. I had 6 hours of homework every night, only came out of my room for meals, graduated in the top 10% of my class, graduated with honors college at the University of South Carolina. That is, I'm afraid, our last word. Two views, lots of views. Thank you, Alfie Cohn, for being here. His new book is called The Homework Myth. And thanks for listening. I'm Diane Rehm.
The Diane Rehm Show is produced by Sandra Pinkard, Ann Adams, Nancy Robertson, Jonathan Smith, and Tanya Weinberg, with help from Elizabeth Terry. The engineer is Toby Schreiner. Dori Annisman answers the phones. Visit drshow.org for audio archives, cassette and CD sales, transcripts from SoftScribe, and podcasts. Call 202-885-1200 for more information. Our email address is drshow@wamu.org. This program comes to you from American University in Washington. This is NPR, National Public Radio.